Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a choice, but get on mandate. Get it on, and welcome to Castrol CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea over there.
Hello.
What's going on, man?
Oh, man. It's been busy getting ready for events last weekend and events this weekend and the weekend after that. And
yeah.
There's a lot going on, but and then you've been everywhere and on the road.
Yeah,
like I've seen you for a while. Oh, last weekend, though. We hung out last weekend.
Yeah, we went to Maria Menounos' birthday party. We went to Shatner's Hollywood charity show. Horse show, I should say. Lots of good stuff. Dave Koons is coming in. Dave's, you've seen him on ABC 7 out here in Los Angeles. He's going to be emceeing the San Marino Motor Classic. That's an event that's coming up tomorrow through Sunday. So it's Saturday and Sunday. And it's at Lacey Park in San Marino. It's right outside of Pasadena. And it's going to be great. We're going to have all 10 Newman cars there. We're going to have a couple of Lambos there. Should prove to be a very well-organized and very well-attended show.
I think it's just Sunday, but Dave will probably know.
I think it's just Sunday, too, except for this is tomorrow and Sunday on my thing. And these bios are never wrong.
Yeah, no, I think it's Sunday because I know that I'm spending 9 hours loading cars in on Saturday. So I'm going to go ahead and say.
But the bio says Saturday and Sunday.
Well,
Kaylin's looking it up
right
now.
There could be just like a little slight error.
Yeah.
No, whatever. It's all right.
Well, maybe there's something going on Saturday and then the car show Sunday.
There's another car show on Saturday, a Symphony of Cars.
Huh. So there's a car show Saturday.
At the same location?
But we're calling it another car show.
Yeah, it was a different car show at the same place the day before, and I thought it was a two-day event. And like one day was one event, and then the next day was the next event, but I just got the title wrong.
All right.
There's another car show on Saturday.
Yeah, a Symphony of Cars, same time at Lacey Park in San Marino.
Do they have a theme or anything? Well, we'll give them a plug, but it's going to be weird loading our cars in
weird,
and out
right,
when they're having a car show there. It must be down the road or on a different golf course or... Kaylin, you can look that up.
Yeah.
But it's going to be weird if there's a bunch of cars while a bunch of other cars are loading in.
If you guys show up on Saturday and there's not a car show, you're welcome to help us push. Because we've got 12 cars going there. 10 Newman cars, 2 Lamborghinis.
There's going to be a lot of pushing going on.
It looks like it is. It's a car show at night, but they're doing vintage automobiles, but it's really featuring the USC marching band. So that's the symphony part.
Well, so
it's like
music
a cocktail thing,
it.
And you listen to some music.
Oh, but that's a nighttime. It's an event at night.
Yeah.
Okay. So you
it's like the pre-party for tomorrow's car show.
Okay. I'm sure you type in San Marino car show for the weekend, a bunch of things.
The car show Sunday, and there's a pre-party Saturday night. There you go.
Gotcha.
All right. So you can do those. That sounds like fun. Matt will be there. Dave will be calling the action. I'll be there later on. I'm going to be in Portland. And by the way, still probably a couple tickets left for the second show in Portland at the Aladdin Theater. First show sold out. We're taping a comedy special, so come on out and be a part of it. It's like a one-man show meets a stand-up show meets a little autobiographical show. So I think you'll enjoy that. And again, few tickets left for the second show. Starts at 10. Yes.
Yeah, that'll be good. That'll be fun.
Yeah,
are you excited?
No,
not at all.
No, I'm not excited because I have so much junk to get through between now and then. So, no, I wish I was.
It'll be good when you get there. When you get there and you get up there, it's
always
fun.
It'll be good when I get up there and I get there. Yes, that much. That much I know. And you guys can pre-order Uppity on chassis, chassy.com. And a lot of other good movies over there, like King of the Underdogs, that we talked to Stallone about, and In the Flesh.
That's right.
At Maria Menounos's house.
You saw the video of the shadow boxing? You're shadow boxing? This is a great moment, because we're sitting there, we're standing around talking to Stallone, and he's talking about like meeting Trump and fighters and all this stuff and telling these stories, and then Adam breaks out with a couple of cocktails in, and he goes, "I had a dream that I shadow boxed for you," and he's like, "Oh, are we doing this now?" And we're like, "Yes, we are."
I wanted to shadow box for him, not at him. It just turned out that I happened to be facing him at the time.
But it was great. His wife got a nice laugh out of it too.
I'm sure. Still got to get
fast.
We got to give him the hammer and everything else still as well.
When you left, Vin Diesel came in.
I know.
And his character, like in all of his movies, his character is such a tough guy, and he's kind of a sweetheart of a guy. So he's there and he's saying hi to everybody, he's giving you a hug and, you know, shaking your hand and smiling, and then we're like, "Hey, let's get a quick picture," and then he does that Vin Diesel face. I'm like, "What happened to all the energy and the happiness?" Now you went to Toretto mode.
He's staying on brand.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he's on brand. But he was great. We didn't get to chat too much.
Did you drink a Corona?
He was drinking the Corona. No lie, straight up Corona. I think he brought it from home because Maria's got like Bud Light on tap.
Yeah, like, that's right. I didn't see any Coronas there.
No, but he had it. He probably brought it from home.
Let me, so we're in like a mad dash to get the cars put together and ready and loaded up. And it's literally a car show that's going to have 12 of my cars. It's going to be the first time all the Newman cars, 10 of them have, race cars have been together sort of anywhere outside of my warehouse. So it's going to be quite a photo op.
It's going to be fantastic. Sean's got a team over there scrambling.
So
you got a whole bunch of Armos in the other room just
trying to put
away
everything together. Sure, it's almost free for me. So if you want to come on out. We'll be there. I'll be showing up from Portland. So I'm sure I'll be tired and whatever, but we'll have a beer and we'll have a good time. Let me tell you in the meantime about Brush Hero. No more backache. No more wet, scraped up knuckles. 100% water powered. No batteries or electricity required. Just a standard garden hose. Hook it up. Starter set comes with two brush heads. Soft. So if you're taking your car to a car show and you want to detail out those rims, use the one brush. You want to get up top on the chrome or the painted surfaces, use another brush. They have them. That's why it comes with two. They can get rid of the serious muck, or it can get rid of the fine stuff. Extensive line of accessories to clean virtually anything. Boats, barbecues, yard tools, patio furniture, RVs. Always add that.
Yeah.
Great gift for Father's Day. Let's get going, though. Gift sets for every budget. Amazon, Costco, Walmart, and buy direct at brushhero.com. Get 10% off your entire order when you use the code CARCAST. This is a really great device. You've seen it on Shark Tank. It is very smart. Plus, orders over $40 ship for free.
I like it for the engine compartment.
Oh, yeah.
Nooks and crannies.
Nothing better in the engine compartment, nooks and crannies. 10% off your entire order when you use code CARCAST. All right. So what do you got? What are you working on?
Oh. So, I told you the story of the supercharger breaking on the M3. And
right.
I tracked it down to the oil feed line being in basically not done right. It's basically feeding from the bottom. It should be feeding from the top and then draining out the bottom of the supercharger. So,
right.
So that's all getting fixed. But after we figured that out, the car wouldn't start.
Right.
We just wouldn't start. So now it's sitting at my place. It's just sitting there.
You were telling me about that.
And I've been going through with the multimeter to every fuse and relay I can find. And now I think it's pretty much the starter, which has the solenoid built into it on it. And I'm going to hit that with the voltmeter. But of course, on this car, on the M3, on the E46 M3, the starter is under the intake manifold.
Yeah.
Right. They couldn't make it easy.
No.
It's got to be under the intake manifold. Now, luckily, the supercharger is out of the way, so I can kind of see it and
because
access it.
Because it's removed?
Yeah.
So the intake's on one side and the exhaust's on the other?
Yeah.
Right. Well, and it's either... I mean,
actually, if you picture it, like, I just put it up on my social media.
It. Well, look, it's either going to be under the intake or under the exhaust.
Right.
So you don't have a whole lot of choices.
So on this car, it has the air-to-water intercooler, the big red intercooler. Okay? So underneath that, attached to, you know, the flywheel, the transmission area.
You got to go at it from underneath.
You got to go at it from underneath. Or I got to remove that thing.
And I'm guessing they put it on that side because they don't want the heat from the exhaust on the starter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, it's never an easy thing, right?
It's never easy. Starters are, the thing that drove me nuts is on the Datsuns, on the L motors, like the 510 or the Z cars or the whatever, it kind of sucked that the intake and the exhaust were on the same side. But the good news is if you got a 240Z or a 510 or 610 or whatever, and you want to do the starter, you just like go over to the passenger side of the car and lean
just
down.
Just lean in and get it. You can just grab
go
it.
Grab it. Like get a crescent wrench, undo two bolts, and pull it out.
Yeah.
The Roadster has a U motor, and the Roadster has the intake and the exhaust and the goddamn starter on one side.
Yeah.
Which is kind of insane. Like,
you're just generating heat and sucking it all into the motor.
And
that
the
part
starters would go bad a lot
all the time
on those, and they're and to get to them, they had like a cross member and stuff. Like, it was impossible to get to. And it's like, why wouldn't you just put it on the other side?
Yeah,
look that up, Max. Yeah, and just make sure it's it. But you got the intake and the exhaust on one side and nothing on the other side.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right,
I don't know what they're doing.
You're gonna put your car on my lift. Oh,
well,
you can't get it here.
Not yet, but I will when I get the Alpha back. Because, you know, you just got an empty hole in the shop right now where the lift is, and it looks like nobody's working over there. So give me a few days, and I'll get another car up
there.
So
it was the starter.
Well, that's pretty much the only thing left, and I haven't had time to put the meter on there to check it, but I'm pretty sure that's what it's going to be. And
the solenoid is... Now, the reason why there is no replacing solenoids anymore. It's just you have to do the whole unit, right?
I believe so. I mean, you can go to BMW and get a starter for $600 or something, or you can just get a rebuilt one for $175.
Right.
Starter, solenoid, all one unit, right?
Yeah.
You know, so I'm saying starter at this point. Now, I didn't think starter initially because it wasn't like it was cranking over, but slowly or whatever. And nothing was happening. So I thought it was like a relay or a fuse or some sort of like neutral safety switch or clutch safety switch, something like that. And I went through and checked all of those things because they're a little bit easier to check. You know, you can just go underneath the dash and, you know, pull some wires or switches and check it. So I went through all of that and everything was coming back clean. So I'm down to starter, but I think it's the solenoid. Now, I have the electric fan on there. When you turn the ignition key, that fan gets on and it's loud. So unless I unhook the fan, I can't hear the click. Everyone's going to say, can't you just turn it and see if you can...
The click of the solenoid.
Of the solenoid,
of the gear going.
Yeah, yeah. So unless I unhook the fan first, I can't hear the click. So I didn't get to that yet, but I'm getting there. You know, it's a little bit of trial and error. So,
yeah, you need just to get a 3-year-old Camry and call it a life.
Yeah, I know, but then I wouldn't have anything to talk about.
That's true.
I kind of feel like this is like, oh, I got one more thing for you because you're going to love this idea. I feel like you've sort of been preaching this for a while. The start stop feature that's in all these new cars, and they just. At every stoplight, they shut it down. It keeps going again.
We always turn it off every time.
Every time. Pull the fuse,
yeah,
whatever.
But you can't shut it off anymore. I pull the fuse.
So I had a chat with our king of oil buddy, Lake Speed Jr., and he was saying, that feature is bullshit. He said, that thing ruins an engine because starting and stopping is more wear and tear on an engine than anything. He's actually in town testing wear on bearings on like crank bearings, crankshaft bearings, and the different oils. And he was he'd say when they race, like if you go out and do a NASCAR race, those stock cars, the testing day, that engine is way more damaged than the racing engine, because testing, you're just stopping and going throughout the day. And the race day, you figure what? They fire it up and warm up the engine, or they probably hit the dyno first, and then they get there, they fire up and warm up the engine, and then they fire it to race it three times, and that's it. And he goes, that engine, even though they've raced it for hundreds of miles, has less wear on the bearings than the one that had they start and stop all the time. So I said, basically, like, you're telling me start-stop feature is bullshit. And he's like, yeah, it's dumb. Turn it off. It's not worth it. If you own the car, like, I get it. You're leasing it. Maybe you don't care. But
I pull the fuse. I'm tired of it.
It's annoying, and it's killing your engine.
The thing that the final, what do we say, the final straw for me was I put an auxiliary. Everyone at my house basically just sort of sits around and goes like, what are you going to do? And like, I have a freezer and it's filled with food. And like, when you open it up, like Eggo waffles come flying out and this and that and the other. And everyone just looks at me and goes, yeah, what are you going to do? So what I have to do at my house is go, we could buy another refrigerator and we could put it in the garage, and then we could put some of the frozen food in there that we don't eat very often, and we could make more room in this one. And everyone's like, yeah, okay, I don't know. Like, everyone just sort of everyone in my house just sort of sits around and waits for stuff to happen to them, and it's never good.
Right.
And then at some point I do it and no one cares. But I put a refrigerator in my garage.
Yeah.
And I put it against the side wall, sort of where I pull in, on the side where I pull in. And so when I pull in order to get my car in far enough to shut the garage door and close enough in, I have to really bring it up against the edge of the corner of the refrigerator. Oh,
does it prevent you from getting Eggos?
No.
When you park there?
But my right hand front of the car, my passenger side front of the car, is going right up against the corner of the fridge. I have to really get it like snug up in there. And what happens is I'm creeping in, stop, like I'm right there. Then the car stops. And then it starts again, and it scares me every time. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to smash my refrigerator.
It's going to go forward.
Yeah, it's like the worst time for your car to stop is when you're trying to just, I want to creep in another 4 inches, and it keeps shutting down and starting in. And that's finally just like, fuck it, pull the fuse. So you guys can pull the fuse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Screw the button. The button shuts it off, I don't know, momentarily or temporarily, but when you get to the next stoplight, like it's back on again, you got to just pull the fuse, and it's heaven on earth.
All right, I'm sure there's various layers of the whole, you know, how long you stop for, does it ruin your bearings and stuff, because the oil's dripping and stuff.
Go find Dave Koontz and bring him in. I'll tell you about Castrol Edge. Tech advances, made engines smaller, but you got to take care of those engines with the start-stop thing, right? You need the best motor oil you can find, Castrol Edge, with titanium technology. They, by the way, have gotten together and created a challenge called Titanium Gamer, inspired by the Need for Speed video games. Find out if real or computer-based driving skills are superior, and see it for yourself. Go to Castrol Edge. Watch them deliver the great lubrication. Also, check out Castrol USA YouTube page and watch this video. Good to see you, Dave.
Good to be here, Adam. Hi, Matt.
The San Marino Motor Classic coming up on Sunday with the party the night before, USC Marching Band. If they don't play Tusk, something's wrong.
All right.
That's Lacey Park, San Marino. San Marino's just kind of next to Pasadena, maybe in San Pasadena.
It's its own city, but it's right next to Pasadena and in the San Gabriel Valley. And I think a lot of people who come to the show, you go to this huge 30-acre park and say, well, where was this? I didn't know this was here.
I didn't even know San Marino existed before the show. And
then once you get to San Marino, you got to figure out where. Once you get there, it is a spectacular setting for a car show.
What exciting cars can we look forward to? Is Bruce Meyer and company bringing some cars out there? Who are the usual suspects? How many years has this been running?
This is the 8th annual, and yeah, Bruce Meyer is a regular there, and a lot of the checkered flag Peterson people with the really good cars. This is a Concours d'Elegant show, so you'll have the brass era cars, the really, really old horseless carriages, and then the grand classics, the Packards, the Duesenbergs, a lot of Ferraris. There's a local Ferrari collector named David Lee who always puts together a display of the rarest of the rare Ferraris. He seems to own every rare Ferrari there is. One year he had a 288 and an F40 and an F50 and a LaFerrari, all kind of fanned
out. Oh, he's giving Lingenfelter a run for his money.
I think I saw that cat on Jay Leno's garage a few seasons ago. They went up to Willow Springs and brought a Ferrari.
And his social media handle is Ferrari Collector David Lee, so he's pretty proud of that.
That's kind of long, though. We should probably cut that down.
FCDL. We saw his collection at the Concours Italiano.
Yeah. There's a lot of his Ferraris. They were in a semicircle.
I remember you talking. I didn't know that was his collection, but sure, that makes sense now. Stuff.
So what cars? So we have my cars. We got the Newman collection.
Has there been a Japanese showing at these events in past years?
That's a good question.
I don't think so.
This one might not have had. Maybe the odd Datsun Z, but I think, yeah, as far as
a race car showing?
Well, they've had race cars. You know, my co-MC is Ed Justice Jr., and he usually brings something out of the Justice Brothers Museum. And they've had other race cars, some sort of midget racing car. But they actually bring them up at trophy time, and everyone's holding their ears because they're uncorked. There'll be Mercedes, there'll be Corvettes, Porsches, you know, kind of the usual suspects.
How many cars in total do we expect?
Last I talked to the organizers, they had 407 cars registered.
Yeah, but Ed Justice can take one flatbed, put six of his little tiny cars on there, so that doesn't count.
That's a big turnout.
It's become a bigger deal. You know, all the shows around Southern California want to be the Pebble Beach of Southern California. And this one, I got to say, it's probably the premier local show. A couple of others have sort of fallen by the wayside, but this just was a grassroots thing that they started after the former L.A. Concours d'Elegance kind of collapsed, and these guys took the reins and made this thing pretty awesome.
Yeah, they did one at the Rose Bowl.
That was the one that sort of went kaput.
Yeah, they had some pretty cool cars there, but it didn't really work, but they now have picked this up and have run with it. And if you think about where it is, aesthetically, it's great. The climate is great. The time of year and everything, the weather should be great. But also, this is a group where there's a lot of heavy hitters with a lot of really nice cars, and they're all within 12 miles in any direction. You know, Pasadena's great. You get out to Bruce Meyer and Beverly Hills over there. You can get out to the, you know, Glendale and then, you know, Burbank or whatever. There's a lot of real good cars within striking distance of this place. So that probably brings out a real high quality of car.
And I think it's also kind of like you mentioned, the usual suspects. It's kind of a club. It's the checkered flag people. You know, Bruce Meyer picks up the phone and says, hey, you're going to be there. What are you going to bring? I don't want to be in your same class. You know, we don't want to compete for the trophy, that sort of thing.
The next weekend, he's doing his Rodeo Drive Father's Day Concours, and we got to go to that, or I do. You're going to go play softball with Jimmy Kimmel. But that's because Bruce called and's like, we need two cars out here.
Well, I'm going to go like, in the morning, I think.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't have to bug out until about 12:30, something like that.
Where are you going to play?
I actually checked it, which is the UCLA girls softball stadium that Jimmy Kimmel rents out with food trucks and everything else to play his Father's Day softball game. I said, damn, that's got to be 3.5 miles from Rodeo Drive. And I told Matt to check it, and it's like 2.3 miles. So I can get from Rodeo Drive to the UCLA softball field in 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
First pitch goes out at like 1 o'clock. I mean, they got the soft swirl ice cream truck if you want to get there a little earlier.
Yeah.
But that's a good day with tons of cool cats and the kids going nuts. So I can theoretically go to Rodeo until, you know, 12:30,
yeah,
and then pack up the kids and the wife and head over to the softball game.
And the Rodeo show, you want to go early because I do that one every year as well, and it gets crowded. I mean, the sidewalks become packed. So go to that one really early. You'll see everything, and you can get out of there.
Do I know you have a personal collection, Dave. You got a – let's see. I'm looking here. You have a low-mileage 280Z. How low is that?
Well, when we bought it in 2004, it had 29,000 miles on it and had never left the neighborhood. It was a neighborhood car, sold new at Canoga Datsun, and theoretically it never left the San Fernando Valley. We've now put a whopping another 20,000 miles on it, but it's still under 50,000 miles.
The Z's, wow. Boy, man, they're really making a move in the value department. They simply flatlined for 20 years, and now they're going. I saw one on Bring a Trailer. I don't know. It was up over 20 grand with a few days left.
Like, yeah.
They're making a move. You got a Ford Mustang, a 68 Ford Mustang Fastback. Always like the Fastback.
Well, it's a bullet car.
It's a bullet car.
And here's the thing about Dave's car is
wait, is it a bullet car or
yeah,
is it
it's a recreation, right?
Well, yeah. And I was one of the first ones to do this back in the 90s. It actually got damaged in the Northridge earthquake. It was a stock 68 GT. And 68 GT in Highland Green has these white stripes down the side. So it had to be all repainted because a shop light fell on it. So when I picked it up from the body shop, they go, oh, we had to order the stripes. And I kind of looked at it and thought, well, it looks better without them. So then let me get the torque thrust wheels and the whole thing. And then it started getting work, and it's been in TV shows and movies. And
well, that's
Ford
what I was going to say.
It's
because you have the car, and everybody knows about it.
And the real one was hidden away.
And you're in L.A. This every time somebody needs a, you know, some sort of bullet Mustang, some TV show or movie or event or SEMA or L.A. Auto Show or whatever, your car is the one that goes all the time.
Yeah,
like it's been everywhere.
Well, it was, but now more people have them, so now it's competing.
Well, yours, I guess, was an earlier one because you did it a while ago, yeah. And it just keeps showing up everywhere.
There was one that our buddy Bill Fichtner drove in the Top Gear.
That wasn't this one. Yeah, that
was
mine.
I was going to say it was a piece of shit, and it was a very poor representation of the actual bullet car.
Yeah.
Well, mine's a real 390 car, real four-speed car, sold new in Glendale. You know, the original owners had it in Panorama City until 86. It's a real California car. It's the real deal. It always had a 390, always had a four-speed. It was always Highland Green.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you're pretty much...
That's bullet
I mean,
enough.
It's pretty much the rims... I guess I'm trying to think like what if it's Highland Green, it's got the 390, it's got the four speed. I know they did some suspension stuff, but besides the rims and some suspension stuff, what is
it's taking stuff off the car. You take off all
it.
The badges.
So it's like badge
you
the leads off, and
yes,
stuff.
It's,
yeah.
It's right. Clean off all the chrome, that sort of thing. And you know, there's interpretations. Some guys go obsessed and want to do it exactly like the movie car. No one's yet put dents in the side of theirs, I've noticed. But there's different degrees of it. And everyone's, well, I want 16-inch wheels, some guys will say. But I've got 15-inch wheels because that looks right to me. But
yeah,
some guys
right.
do 17s or 16s.
No.
Or they lower them a lot. And the cars in the movie were actually set really high because they had to put big springs on them so they could land okay.
Yeah, you see the car in the movie, and especially the front end is up high. I mean, they're getting airborne in the streets of San Francisco. So you're going to be – now, what does calling the show entail? What time do you show up? What is your roster of duties to perform?
Ed and I will get the show going. I think about 10 o'clock is when it officially starts, and I believe they'll have the Trojan Marching Band doing the national anthem. And then what we do is we kind of walk around the show field for a couple of hours and find interesting cars and interesting people to talk to over the sound system. So – you know, hey, Adam Carolla, you brought your Paul Newman race cars. You know, how'd you get started in this? And we'll talk to you for about 5 minutes, and then I'll say, Ed, what do you got? And he'll say, well, I found Bruce Meyer, and he brought this. We do that, and then our main responsibility is the award ceremony when the cars come parading up. And that's a little bit of a hot mess sometimes, but we get through it.
What should people do? Is there the price of a ticket? Are kids free? Is there a two-day pass? In terms of, is there a website people should go to?
The two-day pass would be useless.
Well,
there's a Saturday night event Sunday, whatever.
The Saturday gala is actually sold out, so you missed that for this year.
Okay.
The Symphony of Cars, just to tell you what that is, they have a ramp and they bring the cars up and everyone's having dinner, and then the USC Marching Band does a song based on the decade of the car. So they go from 1910, 1920, and then each car stays up there idling for about 5 minutes. And the first year, they figured out they were gagging everybody.
Yeah,
on
I was
the
just
fumes, so
say.
They brought in some fans to blow the exhaust right. away. So that's the Symphony of Cars. If you want to get a ticket for Sunday, I think it's $25 if you buy them online, $30 at the door, and I think kids under 12 are free.
Now, but it's a charity event. The
yes.
whole thing's a charity fundraiser, because that's the part I keep forgetting to mention, that all of it is going to various charities, not just one. Right?
Yeah, it's the San Marino Rotary, it's the USC Marching Band, and it's also the main recipient is the Pasadena Humane Society, and they bring out a mobile adoption center, and they have dogs and cats there to be adopted, and then the show cuts them a pretty significant check every year. They're pretty proud of. They run it lean and mean, as they say, and they're able to really. Some of these shows, you know, they have so much expenses, and they say, and we gave the Art League a nice donation. You find out it was like $1,200 or something.
Right.
But San Marino Motor Classic has really been able to do a lot for charity over the years.
They said they've grown that because you were talking about the size of a Concours. Compared to Pebble Beach. I think this is the second largest behind Pebble Beach.
Show
now.
Me some pictures from last year, Max Pata. Hit Geico, and then I want to talk to you about, I want to focus on what's important, which is, can I buy beer there? Must I bring my own beer?
That's
is
right.
there going to be Sloppy Joe's for sale? What? How does the food truck, what's going on with the food and the beer?
Okay, it's funny that you asked that because I was telling Sean just like a day or two ago, I said, fill up the trunk of the Mura with beer just in case. Let me tell you about Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. You know, you're dropping off dry cleaning. You're picking up some milk. Now you can add, save hundreds of dollars in car insurance to that list. You don't have to drop off or pick up anything. If you just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Go to geico.com.
God, there's Hudson on there, or a
Tucker.
Tucker, I mean, up there we're looking at. A lot of world-class cars over there. We're looking at DB4 or 5. I can't quite looks like a DB4 or 5 we're looking at in front of us with Aston Martin.
Yeah, but so, I don't see a concession stand.
It's world class. Yeah, where's the hot dog truck?
Where's the hot dog truck and the beer
they
truck?
They have a food truck area down at the end and a bunch of different food trucks, including there's a local favorite called Tui's, mm-hmm. which is down off Huntington Drive. And it's their logo, I never figured out, it's a guy with a clothspin on his nose, and it's up on their sign. And
has he got stinky cheeses or
that's
something?
What I'm thinking. Yeah. Like, how is that your logo? And someone explained it to me one time. So they're different food trucks. There's also a VIP section. You can buy a VIP ticket, and there's a buffet, and there's beer and wine, but I don't know about alcohol elsewhere.
As somebody, like, we have such great
we'll
food trucks and stuff out here.
We'll put the back of
the Mura just
to play
maybe
it
just
safe.
In case. We have such great food trucks and stuff out here, and they always go to these great events. Has somebody created the mimosa truck? Like, roll up
well,
to these
first
events?
First off, you're leaving money on the table if you don't call it a mimosa mobile.
I'm sorry, the mimosa mobile.
Yes. There should be, and just like for the golf cart out with the hot chick that pours it up on the links, who gives you the Bud Lights, you know?
Yeah.
Hot dude, shirt off. Drive around in the golf cart, pouring the ladies the mimosas
the mimosa
out and fanning out over the field. Am I right?
Have the collar and the cuffs.
Yeah,
like
just
the
that.
Guys.
We're not going to overdo
that
it.
That could be trademarked.
We'll get
by
one
somebody.
Of the Thunder from Down Under guys. You want to talk the old lady into coming next year? The mimosa mobile
yeah.
that comes to you. That's and you charge whatever you want for that mimosa.
Yeah.
They're getting paid.
Yeah, that's $18.
It's $18.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Not including tip.
That's right.
Yeah. VIP tent, there is a wine and beer bar. At least last year there was, so.
Okay. Keep okay. that in mind, but let's not leave anything to chance. Get that cooler and
can
start
icing
it down.
Can you call and confirm?
Get that cooler.
Yeah.
Also, I'm looking down your roster of vehicles, Dave. I see you have a first-gen Ford Mustang, Ford Bronco, which is, though you want to talk about another vehicle that has just gone through the roof, those Broncos, you know, they followed the Land Cruiser, the Toyota, all that stuff, the Defender, all the kind of boxy
yeah.
70s, 80s, wherever, Toyota, England, America, everyone is on to those cars
yeah.
in a big way, right?
I bought mine in 2005 just because I kind of always wanted one. I think I had a toy of one as a kid, mm-hmm. and I always kind of liked them. And so, you know, I'm familiar with Fords, and so I started looking for one, and I wanted to find one with uncut rear fenders, which mm-hmm. is the kind of the style they were.
Yeah.
And also wanted to find one without rust, which is tough. But I found one, and I bought it at the right time because the value has just gone crazy. Jonathan Ward, who's a friend of mine, he came up to me a few years ago and he says, he goes, how's your Bronco besides tripling in value? And I said, yeah, you know why it tripled in value? Because yours got on the cover of Auto Week and now the value went crazy. And he said, I should have bought 30 of them when they were $40,000. Now I've got to pay $10,000 for them. You know,
I've got to pay more for
yours. Victim of your own success, you know.
Yeah. No, those guys are out there killing it with that. I mean, obviously, he's the singer of all-wheel drive or off-roading.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that there are guys that are out taking those great platforms. The Bronco is kind of to the 911 what the off-road vehicle is to the 911, which is it's just a great jumping off point. It's a great platform to modify.
And if you noticed in that picture that was up just a minute ago, mine and actually all our cars are what we call a day two look. I love a period day two look. So like our Datsun Z has the slot mags. My Bronco has the slot mags. I did it up as if you bought the thing and then went into the Bill Straub catalog and kind of accessorized it. And
sort of a period correct modification.
Exactly.
Thing,
period correct. And it's stock ride height. I don't tend to off-road it. That picture was taken actually out in the dirt out near Palm Springs. But it gets so much attention. When we first got this thing, it was in the summertime, and we're driving out to some friend's house right on the 101 freeway, and you know we're tooling along, and my wife says, everybody is staring at this thing. Now, we've got other old cars. I drive a lot of cool test cars, and I started noticing, you're right. Everyone was looking at the thing. So I think there's a certain nostalgia
for them. At first, you're like,
them.
Do we have a flat tire? Are we leaking something?
Exactly.
I'm not quite sure.
Well, especially since they just bought it. What's dripping out the back?
Yeah, you know, what's going on? Yeah, check on that first. The car that you brought today, just for fun, because you work right down the street.
Yeah, I'm down right here in Glendale.
And the building here is painted in Gulf Racing colors. We've mentioned that 100,000 times before. But you got your wife's car?
Yeah, well, we have a Fiat 500e, and it's my wife's commuter car. This morning, I actually dropped her off at the metro station. She works near downtown LA, so an electric car is perfect for really short trips because if she was doing a cold start on an engine, well, you just did a Castrol commercial, I mean, I'd be changing the oil every month because, you know, that would be wearing it. It's a perfect vehicle for that. This is our second one, and so I said, you go to the dealer, you turn in the previous lease. We had the orange one before, and she's going, oh, it's blue. And I show up at the dealership to sign the papers, and I go, oh, my God, it's Gulf Racing colors because it's powder blue, got the orange mirrors, the orange accent stripes. So, of course, me being kind of a smart aleck, I went out and got a Gulf Racing decal to put in the back window,
sure.
The irony, a Gulf decal on an electric car. And it's a great little city car, so I'll have to get a picture of it parked out front.
It's pure plug-in electric.
Yeah, it's pure electric.
And there's no motor on it. And what's the range on it?
It's about 80 to 90 miles, depending on how you drive it, whether you use the air conditioning. And when we had our first one, my wife worked out in Canoga Park, and so the range was just fine, even if she had to make some side trips. Now she has such a short drive, she just goes basically to the metro station and back. I plug it in once a week.
Once a week.
Yeah.
And you don't need the fast charger or anything.
No, I've got a level 2 at home. I have a 240 volt at home that we had installed.
How fast would it charge just on household current if you needed it?
It's one of those weird things where if you look at the charts, it's not double, even though you know the voltage is half. It's like exponentially. Like if you look at, let's say it's 3.5 hours for a full recharge on level 2. It's not 7 hours on level 1, 120 volt. It's like 12 hours or something.
Yeah, it's like the Richter scale. It's it's like from a 6.0 to an 8.0 isn't 20% more.
That's
it's
right.
Total devastation.
It's total devastation.
And, you know, people
yeah.
are finding that out with the Chevy Bolt. That's the one that has that 200 something mile range. Well, it's an 8 hour charge. If you run the battery, it's an 8 hour charge on 240 on level 2. If you're going off household current, it's like 4 days or something like that. So that's the other side of it.
That was like one of my things. It's like I think they gave me a Leaf for a couple of days, or maybe it was a Chevy Volt.
It was a Volt. Yeah.
And like I took it here, and we ran extension cord and just ran out the front door and like plugged it in. And we plugged this is the first gen and everything. Plugged the thing in for 5 hours, got like 4 miles added to the odometer. Like I was like, wow, that's not what I'm looking for.
Well, these are definitely a city car. And this little Fiat, in fact, several journalists that I know have these things because the lease deals are so good. It's a great in-town car. Small, easy to park, take it out to dinner. It's just fantastic.
I'm all about it. And 80 is completely fine. It was that BMW 7 or 8 that BMW 8 that was
the i8.
It was you know, 17 miles or something that seemed. And again, like I work 14 miles from work, you know, and everyone would say, "Well, just come into work and plug it in." And I'm like, "No, I want to plug it in overnight, Sunday night, and have 3 or 4 days of going back and forth to work, not plug it in every time you go to work."
Well, those plug-in hybrids, there's two things. First of all, it's to get their MPGe number up. So even if you have like an X5 and it goes 12 miles on the charge, if you look at the MPGe number, MPG equivalent, it's like 85 MPG, and that helps their whole
– right.
Also, in certain places in like China and more Europe – you have to be on electric power when you go into a city. They want you to be on electric
for the
power.
Smog.
So you can turn the on and off and say, okay, I'm saving my juice. That's that Cadillac CT6 plug-in. That was made for China. In fact, it's made in China. You get to the city, you go to electric power, you got to go on electricity. Then when you get back out on the highway, you can go back onto your gas engine. That's why they do those.
Interesting. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you guys some more about Brush Hero.
Nice.
No more backaches or wet, scraped up knuckles. You've seen this thing on Shark Tank, as Adam mentioned. It's 100% water powered. There's no batteries or electricity required, just a standard garden hose. Have you guys seen it? It looks like a big Dremel tool with a brush on the end. It's kind of cool. The starter set comes with two brush heads, a soft one for sensitive surfaces like paint and chrome, and a tough one for the serious muck. The mud, the dirt, your engine compartment, like we were saying, you can start cleaning out your suspension components on your Bronco.
Yeah.
All right? Because it's you got standard ride height.
So that dust that I get on the streets of Toluca Lake.
In your garage, the 9 miles a month you put
on that thing.
There's an exclusive line of accessories to clean virtually anything, you know, boats and barbecues, yard tools, patio furniture. Check it out. Go to brushhero.com, and you can get a great gift set for Father's Day. You guys should get on this pretty soon. There's about a week away. You can get it at Amazon, Costco, or Walmart, but if you go to brushhero.com, you get 10% off your entire order if you use the code CARCAST. And all orders over $40 will ship for free. So go to brushhero.com and use CARCAST as your code.
All right, so let's review. San Marino Motor Classic. Dave will be there. Matt will be there. I will be showing up tired from Portland, but I should get there around noonish.
Okay.
Maybe noonish plus. I think I land in Burbank about 11:30 or something like that. I'll just come straight away. So
that'll be good. Come by, check it out.
That'll be good. I'll come by. I'll say hi, Dave.
Grab a cocktail.
Or Ed Justice will come around, bring the mobile mic. We'll have a little chat by the wheels. Dave, where should we go to find you? ABC7 out here, by the way.
Yeah, you have a day job.
ABC7.com/automotive. And then for social media, it's all ABC7 Dave Koons on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook.
Dave Koons.
K-U-N-Z.
Check out, K-U-N-Z. Check out Shift and Steer. That's on podcast one.
Oh, thank you.
Once again, one more show tonight in Portland, or tomorrow night, I should say. A couple tickets left for the second show. Live shows. Just go to AdamCarolla.com for that and check out our latest documentary, Uppity. Go to chassis.com, 2 S's and a Y, and pre-order it for us, please. I think we'll deliver it in July. And also, say hi to our friends at Podcast One. PodcastOne.com, click the survey banner, and take 5 minutes and help them out. They're a great company. They want to help bring the best product they can bring to you, and it'll help if they know what you like, what you don't like, and all that kind of stuff. Dave Koons over there. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dave Koons and Matt the Motorator DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Carolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.